Hey, what's up, everybody? So today, really excited. I honestly can't say there are many people who make my fun-loving personality look mild in comparison. But folks, I am honored today to have Josh Scanlon here with me. Woohoo! What's up, Josh?
What's going on, Sarah?
Today's show is going to be about financial advisor online marketing and how it can be very advantageous from a lead standpoint in driving down the cost of a lead. Josh is very prolific in his ability to create online content, and this has benefited him tremendously. We're going to talk about all that he's done. But first, Josh, I saw that you served as an infantryman in the U.S. Army's 10th Mountain Division.
Yeah.
And you were in the National Guard. Thank you for your service. We love the vets here on my podcast. So tell me about that.
Well, if you just real quick, if you see me looking over my shoulder, my dog is running around here.
Pablo.
Yes, Pablo. He's my personal financial planning assistant. Here he comes. So every now and again, he comes and growls at me. So hold on just a second. He wants to sit on my lap.
Is he an IAR?
that stuff.
We're very officially here on my podcast, Josh.
My back office assistant.
you know that I'm like the biggest dog fan. Hi, Bobby. Hi, look at your ears. Oh, my
God. Just a year ago, Pablo was on his own, and now he's made our happy life even happier.
Was he a rescue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
He's crazy. He's so cute. How much do we love dogs? It's nuts. I just love
them. I love dogs. I do
take him for a walk every morning, and that's where I do some of my YouTube videos just while I'm walking with Pablo. Like I did one just this morning on the fact the dividend cuts weren't nearly as bad, which is pretty interesting.
Right. Army. Talking about the Army here, Josh.
I almost did not graduate high school. I mean, I had like a 1.8.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why? You just thought it was boring? You disagreed with like what they were teaching you?
Nah, I just, because I skipped. I was partying like it was 1999. I hated school, Sarah.
I said he was fun-loving, didn't I, everybody? See? I knew it. Did I call it or what, y'all?
It's crazy. And I don't know, only, but I think I had to argue or beg one of my teachers to give me the enough of a grade so I could graduate, and I was stunned that I was able to. And I think my GPA was like 1.8 or 1.9. Long story short, I knew I wasn't going to college, and my dad said, "You're out." And I said, "Well, all right, what am I going to do?
What am I going to do?" Right.
Yeah. I said, "Well, let me." So when I was in the beginning of my first semester as a senior in high school, I knew I wasn't going to college. I said, "Okay." So I just looked at the Army. And I initially signed up to be a telecommunications engineer in Fort Jackson. But then I got in some trouble with the law, Sarah. And when you get in trouble with the law, you basically can't go into the military until you get out of trouble with the law, if that makes sense. And I remember sitting in Baltimore MEPS, entry processing station, getting ready to go on the plane. The guy said, "We just want to make sure no one's in trouble with the law. You better say it now, because if we find out in your basic training, you'll get a dishonorable discharge." I was like, "I'm in trouble with the law." And they said, "You got to go back." He said, "We can't have it." Long story short. So I went back to talk to my recruiter. He was like, "Dude, what the hell?" And so when I got that finished and everything was squared away, basically told the judge I was going to the Army. He said, "Well, if I find out you're not bad things are going to happen." I said, "Okay." So I went back to my recruiter. He said, "The only thing I can offer you is infantry." And I don't know if he's lying to me or not. I said, "Well, I guess I got to
holy smoke."
That's what I'm
going to
do.
And right.
So infantry. And, the thing is, Sarah, you know, all the little things that nip you at you, they turn out mostly to be good things. So this was, it was great for me because it was fantastic. So I'm very glad I went in, and I would never do it again.
Okay. But did you get deployed?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We got Panama, Honduras, Germany a couple times. Just a million times around the U.S., all over the place, yeah. I never went in combat. I mean, it was like I never got shot at or anything like that, thank God. But no, we got deployed everywhere. And it was cool. And we got to see all kinds of stuff that never would have thought. Just a poor kid from Maine, never would have been to Panama, for heaven's sake, having monkeys pooping on you and trying to steal your rifle. I mean, literally, the monkeys would poop in their hand, throw it at you, and come down and try to steal your rifles. And you're like, dude, it's freaking monkeys. What the hell? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Right. Well, my dad was in the Air Force.
Okay.
It was the same thing where he was kind of like his parents came here from Italy and, yeah. you know, like didn't have a ton of money or whatever. And that was the point at which there was still the draft.
Yeah. yeah.
And so he said he didn't want to go in the Army because he didn't want to shoot a gun. So right. he volunteered to go into the Air Force instead of getting drafted,
yep.
which I thought was actually a pretty smart move. When you
No, absolutely. And the draft's yeah. stupid, should never bring it back again. And everyone wants to have, we should have mandatory Army. And I said, no, they should not be mandatory Army stuff. That's nuts. People have a right to choose to go military or not. But to force people right. to go, that violates your personal liberty. And you shouldn't do that. So for me, right. it's great. But for other people, it might not be. So
right.
you know, everyone has a right to their own freaking mechanism, how they want to see their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so the other thing is Josh, like me, has four kids. Although yeah. I think you, it sounds like you were a lot more intelligent in terms of spacing them out than I was. Cause you know, I had a kid every year for like 4 years in a row, but you were more, much way better, more strategic about it. Than
How
me,
old right? were you when you had your first?
How old was I? I was 36 years old when I had okay. my first kid.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. Unbelievable. Cause they always say like, once you pass 35, you're quote unquote advanced maternal age. And they were all, it was funny cause all the doctors were like, well, you know, it may take you years and years to have a kid. And then there I was like 36, 37, felt like pregnant, 38, 39.
So basically pregnant for almost five straight years. Essentially.
Right. By the time I was on the fourth one, they were like, do you want to just handle this one by yourself? Like, what yeah, do you need right, us right. for? You know what I mean? Like they like, but really, I was like a medical miracle. Like people literally couldn't even believe that me, someone like advanced maternal age. But I, you know, I think it depends on how well you keep take care of yourself, et cetera. Like your body age is different from your chronological age too, you know? How old are your kids?
So one's at Georgia Tech. She's going to turn 20 in August. So she's a sophomore at Tech. One's going to be a junior in high school. She's going to be 17 in October. One is eighth grade, going in eighth grade. He's 13. And my youngest is 12, going to seventh grade.
And, you have three boys. Do you have three girls and a boy like me?
Two and two. The oldest are girls, the youngest are boys. Yeah.
All right, Josh. So listen, I wanted to just kind of get into what you're doing now online because it's pretty impressive. So you've got a YouTube channel with 30,000 followers. Awesome. You've got, I mean, pretty good blog. You're doing online courses. You're doing some pretty hip stuff. So, I mean, tell me, like, why did you get into this in the first place into trying to market yourself on the internet? Why?
I got sick of working for other people, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Because all these other people had different agendas, which was go after, you know, HNWs. And I said, that's fine, but everyone is swimming in that pond, and the pond is small and the number of people swimming in it are large. And no one has any, no one's offerings are any better than anyone else. You've been in the business long enough. I mean, the offering is you. The offering is you. It's not your product.
That's okay. Yes. Can I just stop on that for a minute? Yeah. So all of you advisors, right, that are going to like do this whole branding project and think right. that branding is like about the logo and the website and the color scheme. It's like, that's what the marketing people want you to believe it is. And I'm not going to downplay it because there is some degree to which you have to look consistent and these things do have to reflect your personality. But right. Josh, that's a great point. For a financial advisor, the brand is you.
100%.
Right. Unless you're like Mariner or you're one of these, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Like Edelman, you know what I'm saying? Unless you're one of these like big firms, for the most financial advisors, I think that are listening to this show, your personality, your beliefs, who you are as a person, that's what people are buying.
100%. And you know, I get it. If you work for Edelman, you are not your brand because you chose a throw-in with Edelman. And that's you. You made that choice. I'd made that choice for almost 20 years. And I got tired of making that choice. I said, I want to do it my way. And, you know, come hell or high water. Thankfully, I had enough saved up, Sarah. I had FU money where I knew that I could go, you know, 3 to 5 years. And I said, you know, when I was down to, I had a number that I said, once I break this number going down of how much I was going to spend, I'd have to go. And I was never going back to working for another firm in financial planning. I'd go dig ditches or something like that. I was never, ever, I was burning bridges. And I don't mean burn bridges like saying, But I mean, I said, right. I'm going to be
Yeah, no, like I'm not walking back. I'm turning away. I'm not looking back. That kind of, but that's an important thing too, that I want to emphasize, because so many times people don't really believe that they can do this, that they can market on their own, that they can be their own brand. And so they get like, oh, well, I'll try it. I'll write a blog. And then it doesn't work because it's only one blog and it like stinks. Because by the time you write, like you need to get the hang of it. You know what I mean? Like by the time you write 50 blogs, maybe you'll know, maybe they'll be good. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they're just not committed or in it. Like I'm going to make this work. I have very rarely seen a financial advisor that just has the attitude of this has to work. But when you do have that attitude, it makes all the difference, right?
There's no turning back. You know what I'm saying? And once you do that, it's hell's bells. It's, you know, you're going full throttle and you're going to win or you're going to fail. But it's, you're not even failing. At least you know. That for me, Sarah, is like, man,
yeah.
At least I'll know.
Right.
I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'm going to try it, hey, buddy. And at least I'll know if I succeed. And if I don't succeed, I will always be able to say I tried it. You don't fail. You just didn't succeed at what you're accomplishing. For me, I'm getting out of the business. I'll let go of my CFP. I'll let go of my, I don't even have any licenses anymore, but I'll let go of all that crap. And I'm saying, this is it. It's you know, this or bust. But I know I can always work in a nursery. I can always, you know, go logging if I need to. You know, I was in the infantry. I'm not afraid to, you know, get my hand in poop. You know what I'm saying? So, and I like being outside. So I know I can always get a job doing something.
Right. Okay. So here you are, you're all in. And when does the light start to come on of, wait a second, I can get leads from the internet. Like I can really get leads from the internet. Like when was that point of like, yes, this actually can happen?
Yeah. So basically when I started doing my YouTube channel, I saw a guy named Dustin Tibbetts from Jazz Wealth, who I love Dustin. I've actually met him. We did a joint YouTube video live one time in Seminole, Florida. And he did a video on why it's okay to borrow from your 401k. This is probably back in the latter part of 2017, right when I was kind of starting to ramp up. And I looked and he was the only guy. Everyone else was doing the boilerplate stuff. And I said, man, I like this guy. So long story short, I said, okay, I want to start doing, because there's no one else talking like this. You know what I'm saying? There's no one else.
Yeah, their channel is a monster.
Yeah, well, and just
huge channel.
And it wasn't just because that specific, but I saw that there is a dearth. Is that the right word? Of good quality information. It was all the same boilerplate.
But tell me, okay, what you're calling boilerplate? Tell the audience what characterizes as that
boring stuff. I got my suit and tie on. I got all that stuff. I got just. You know, I just want to kill myself. Like, we got an old person, you know, on a beach as our background.
Sipping champagne. On the yacht, time. Right.
And okay. This is actually one of the things when they talk about diversity in the industry, I'm praying for. We need more diversity in people who have different experiences, because my goodness, not everyone wants to sit on the freaking beach with a sailboat, for the love of me. That's just so... Oh, I don't get it. Anyway, so Dustin was doing it differently. No one else was doing it. Everyone else was doing the same old crap. You should never borrow from your 401k. And I'm like, but there's people. That's not true, Sarah. It's not true. In fact, I wrote a book.
I know, right. And that's what I love.
Planning that says you can borrow from your 401k because I did it. And so I said, okay. So Dustin's doing this. I said, I'm going to just do some videos. And my whole point, I was going to do seminars. And I got 200 of these printed off. Cost me $2,000, my own book. Now, I was going to go do seminars locally.
So, okay. So, before you've gotten on the internet, you already have books that you've written.
I had published this in January 2018, self-published. And this was going to be my leave behind. So, I was going to go to do seminars. And anyone who came to my seminar was going to get this book. You see what I'm saying? And I was going to market it by literally cold walking, going to businesses and just cold walking, hand out business cards, saying, I'm doing this seminar. That's what I did when I was at Smith Barney.
Cold walking, cold drop-ins, they call it.
Drop-ins, exactly right. Yep.
And so, the self-esteem, the confidence you have to have to do drop-ins. Woo.
Well, it sucks, but that's
hard too. Yeah.
That's all I knew. And then I said, okay. So I said, so I had published my book, and I said, before, and I was going to do mailings. I was, you know, the whole thing, the old school.
The whole traditional way. Yeah. Okay. And then, so what happens at that point? So you see this video by Jazz Wealth. You start putting up these unconventional videos.
Well, I started my YouTube channel in March of 2018. And literally, I just started doing it, you know, reading chapter by chapter of this book. You know what I'm saying?
And I said, and then the thousands of views start coming in.
Well, not close. In my, a chapter, variable rate mortgages are fine, for instance. So I just literally read that chapter, and I, you know, I got another one on here that debt is the enemy, you know, kind of Dave Ramsey-ish and stuff. And I started building the muscle. No one's watching. No one saw it or anything. And I started building the muscle. I said, well, I like doing this. And I start, but now I have no money coming in. I'm living off my own investments, my IRA, paying the 10% penalty too. No money coming in. I said, I'm going to do one video a day for 90 days. No one watched. No, I didn't get any subscribers for about the first month, Sarah. And then I got a comment on a video I did on divorcee social security planning. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's for. I'll never forget the first comment I ever got. I was like, holy crap, someone actually commented on my video.
And it hold on. I just want to make the point though. This is a good point, Josh. For all of you listening, did you hear Josh when he said nobody paid attention to him for a month? But then he kept still doing it consistently, and then he finally got a comment. Okay, good.
Well, that's
great. And it's like when you first get that comment, it's like you can't believe it.
I can't believe it happened. Where, a lot of people think, look, no one's going to give two. They don't even know who the hell you are the first month. No one's going to watch. I'm just telling you, no one is going to watch. So stop trying to make it perfect because no one's going to see it anyway. I don't care how good it is. Just freaking get something out there. No one is going to see you. It's right. Just all that. I cannot stress this enough. You don't have to get too fancy. You don't have to make it perfect. I cannot tell you.
No, but it's a lot of times people, they get real uptight about it. It's like they have to, when advisors come to me, they say like, oh, I want to do a podcast. I want to do YouTube. I'm like, okay, so let's create a really novel idea. Let's be creative. Let's, you know, really let's start recording stuff. And they're like, no, I have to wait until my microphone comes.
Yes.
I have to get the perfect camera. I'm like, are you aware of the fact that I record from my freaking apartment? The first few years of my apartment, I have always had a baby crying in the background. Yeah. Like it looks like I'm taping from like war torn Afghanistan.
Right.
Like awful, horrible audio quality. I have almost 7,000 subscribers on the channel today. And right. Like,
great.
Okay.
No, it's
I'll YouTube, never forget. Dude.
Kitsis was doing a podcast, Michael Kitsis, and someone was interviewing him and one of his babies was in the background crying. And I'll never forget. Someone put a snarky comment saying, well, I wish there was more professional no babies in the background. I said, you freaking fool. People love that crap.
Oh, people love it.
Loud. Yeah,
Pablo, the dog. Yeah, right. I get so many.
People love you being real. They love that. And I said, Kits, and I remember I commented. I said, Kits, this don't ever change, man.
So, okay. So you get this comment and then what happens?
I mean, I commented back and then, but what it was, it showed you that someone actually is paying attention. You see what I'm saying? And then my social security for divorcees, I started getting a lot of single women on there who they just said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It just, you know, again, it took months. Then I did one video. I forgot what it was. And I got like 100 views like in 6 hours. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, this is back.
Probably that's awesome. After, right.
Well, this has been after I've been doing it for 3 months. You know what I'm saying? I said, for me, that's viral. I said, man, 100 views in 6 hours. I said, man, I forgot. It's something on annuities. I forgot what it was. I said, all right, cool. And then, you know, but then it starts to build. And I got 1,000 subscribers in August of 2018. So from March to August of 2018, that's what, 6 months, something like that. I had 1,000 subscribers in that time frame of doing at least one video a day, every single day. One video. It took me 6 months to get 1,000. There's a lady named Liz Hand. I love Liz. She's fantastic. And I'll never forget, I interviewed her for my YouTube channel back in May of 2018. she had more subscribers than I did. I had like 150. She had like 250. And I said, Liz, I wish you would do more videos, because I, you know, at the risk of sounding patronizing, I love women doing financial planning videos. So it just gives a different perspective. And there's just not that many that do. And I wish more do. And Liz is fantastic. She's personable. She's smart. She's witty. And I just love it. I said, I wish you would do more. And she told me, compliance, man. Anyway, long story short, I said, but she had more subscribers than I did. And, you know, I don't know what she has now, but I guarantee it's not. I got like 32,000 now, and I guarantee she doesn't. And it's not because of her. It's because compliance is holding her down. They have to approve every single freaking word that comes out of her mouth. I said, it freaking sucks, man. I said, we're holding her back, who has so much to offer to individuals out there. Because some compliance, because compliance is freaking, it's mission creep, what we used to call in the Army. You weren't supposed to do that, but you just took it upon yourself to do that. Now your mission is bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and now you have no mission at all. And Liz Hayes is a perfect example of that. She should have 100,000, she's 10 times better than freaking Susie Orman, but we don't know who Liz Hayes is because her compliance is telling her she can't freaking do it unless they give every single, you know, freaking check mark so that compliance doesn't, you know, freaking flip out. And the thing that pissed me off in that, Sarah, is not the SEC. The SEC isn't, or FINRA, they don't give two craps if Liz talks about Social Security planning. It's the compliance for mission creep, and it infuriates me. So,
yeah, I mean, sometimes compliance does have valid, they do have valid, like, you know, cause for concern in many cases, but there are other cases where I have seen it where compliance just doesn't understand how YouTube works.
No, not just YouTube.
Like, right, but they'll or a lot, like, they don't understand online media. So I just want to say, for all of the viewers on this podcast, if your compliance officer is giving you a lot of trouble, I want to just be your advocate. Please email me, and I will actually speak with your compliance officer on your behalf, and just free of charge. It's not, this is not a service, but I just honestly want people to have more freedom to produce content. And it's just sometimes an educational issue where, you know, compliance officers, for example, don't understand how you can archive YouTube videos. They don't understand that you can disable comments on YouTube.
Exactly.
Right? So like all these things. And I feel that if more of them knew and understood, I think there'd be way more freedom for financial advisors. So if this is you, please don't be shy. Email, introduce yourself, and just have an email conversation with me, and I'm willing to make the phone call on your behalf. Okay, Josh, so here you are, you're going along, you're producing, and then, but when does the real break come, and why?
Well, I had one lady email me in June of 2018, and she lived in Texas, and she wanted to talk about her stuff. And I said, and I was wondering, I thought she found me from YouTube. I remember telling my wife, I said, holy crap, I got a lead from YouTube. But it wasn't from YouTube. It was from, I think, the FPA or something like that. And I was like, oh, man. But anyway, so I said, I told my wife, because my, you know, my wife was all on board, but she didn't, you know, she just like, do what you got to do. But I was like, man, I think I got a lead from YouTube. And I was stunned. And I, but it got me fired up. Anyway, I talked to this lady. It turned out it wasn't from YouTube. It's from maybe it's from NAPA. And I was like, oh, so it's kind of bummed. But I kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. Because by then, this time I like it, Sarah. It gives you a chance to just say stuff, and it's fun. And I enjoyed doing the YouTube channel. So I was like, I'm doing it anyway. I did a seminar. I used White Glove, and I'm a fan of White Glove seminars, by the way. They did a good job for me. White Glove, they did all it together. You know, they put a seminar for me in Georgia where I'm at. I had, you know, 50 people show up or something like that for two, and you only pay per person. You don't pay, you pay a per cheeks and seats. So if they don't get the turnout, you don't pay. And I like that. And so those people, I said, you know, just follow my YouTube channel. And I could see a little bit of a, not a spike, but you could see starting to get more traffic. And what happens with YouTube, the more traffic you get, the more traffic you will get, because YouTube algorithm starts kicking in. Now, I was very adamant about SEO. I just want to be very, very clear. No one gives two craps. Josh's blog, number 33. That doesn't mean anything. No one, it's, I'm telling you. You gotta
be careful. Tell the audience the why those kinds of titles are not effective from SEO standpoint.
Think about it. If you type in, should I do a Roth conversion? All right.
To Google, if you type in, you have, so this is his point. If you want to get content that gets visibility, you have to understand what people type into Google. Exactly. You can't have it be some irrelevant title like Josh on the Prairie.
Right. That's stupid. And
Josh, the RIA firm.
Well, I remember, again, a guy emailed me or put a comment on my YouTube channel that he was stunned how much I had grown, because he had been around for a long time and he didn't have any, he had less than 1,000 subscribers. And I looked at his page. I said, dude, your titles are all jacked up. So, you know, you said, I think he was doing fishing, you know, fishing and, you know, bass trout. So I don't know what the hell, you know what I'm saying? I said, your titles are episode 22, you know, John on the River. I said,
no one's going to search for that in Google.
Right. I said, you got to title it Catching Trout in River Joe or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like Catching Trout in a cold temperature.
Exactly.
Catching Trout in June season, whatever.
It's
right.
Basic SEO. And one of my videos, and I don't know where it is anymore, because now I just, at this stage, I don't really pay that much mind, which is one of the reasons I don't have as many subscribers as some other people do. But at this stage, it's fine. And I'll probably, every now and then, I'll do some tweaking on SEO, but I did taxes and retirement planning. And that was a number two. If you typed in retirement planning on YouTube, which is the second largest search engine after Google, and guess who owns YouTube? Google. So it's all in one. So if you typed in retirement planning in YouTube 2 years ago, I was the number two video on there. It was after John Oliver. So John Oliver and then my video right there. And just basic SEO, man. I said, okay, taxes and retirement planning. And I did a mini blog post, probably 500 words. We're using, you don't want to keyword stuff. You want to make it, keyword stuffing means I'm going to say retirement planning, retirement planning, retirement planning, but it doesn't have any flow. Trust me, YouTube is so much smarter than you are in that. So you have to make it a mini blog. Retirement planning. In this video, we're going to talk about retirement planning, how much you'll pay in taxes. All right. If you are planning on retiring, you need to look at taxes as part of your retirement plan cash flows or something like that. You see what I'm saying? And so you have retirement planning in the title, retirement planning in the very beginning of your description. And then I don't even use tags anymore. Tags don't matter. But still, you need to have a description and it needs to be titled correctly as well. And then a thumbnail is always important. So my thumbnail, I wish I could change them. I had me in a monkey suit, which I don't like anymore, but it said taxes and retirement planning, literally. So you saw a thumbnail, just me smiling, because faces always draw attention. And then, you know, something's quick and easy on the thumbnail. And that just got crazy. I got like 200,000 views on that, maybe 300,000 as of now. And I made hell of a freaking boatload of money off that one video. It's crazy.
So money, meaning you got people to.
Well, YouTube, let's see. So I've made, let's see, last year on YouTube, just on YouTube. So you got this app. So I got 31,175 subscribers now. I average about 10,000 views a day. My eyes.
10,000 views a day.
Yeah. That's in the summertime is usually down. But if we go to analytics, my total. My revenue on YouTube, what I've made, last month I made $2,100, and that's down because the with what's going on with the advertising stuff, you know, with the stupid coronavirus, it's the advertising revenues are going south. But I've made my lifetime on YouTube since March of 2018, and when I got monetized in August of 2018, I've made $60,000. All right, so that's 2 years, right? 2018. Yeah. So less than 2 years, I made $60,000. And that's pretty sweet. And you can see right there, that's kind of the revenue that you see right there. And that's not too bad. So you got to have
But you're not doing this to make money from the YouTube advertising as much as you're making money off of the leads coming to you.
Well, here's how I did a shift. So I was watching some videos and I said, I'm going to keep doing video, because when I got monetized, it felt good, dude. Like in August of 2018, when I got my 1,000 subscribers and I got my first check of $971 or something like that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was getting a few, leads by then, Sarah, you see what I'm saying? And I said, okay, that's cool, but I wasn't charging enough. I was charging like, I think $250 for a plan. I can't remember what it was. And so I was like, I'm taking a lot of time with these not highly paid plans, if that makes sense. I mean, I was doing the work, but I wasn't getting comped enough. I said, I can't do that anymore. So I'm going to focus on YouTube. So basically, I didn't take anybody from August. I can't remember exactly, but I remember from August until April, I didn't take any clients. So just focused solely on YouTube. And then I said, I had a number of people reach out to me who found me through YouTube, and they said, I'm desperate. Would you just take me? And I had that, I must've had that 10 times. And I said, okay, I'm going to open it up. And now it's nuts. I cannot believe how much money I've made since I started taking clients April of 2019. It's insane. It's insane.
Because you have content that's highly viewed. And so what do you think the cost of a lead, the cost to actually get the lead in the door is?
Well, it took me a year of every single day doing YouTube videos.
Okay. So if you put a value on the amount of money you invested measured by your time.
I mean, that's $100,000. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had to live off my IRA, which, you know, I took $100,000 distribution. Then you factor
But that's not the cost that went into producing these assets of you, these virtual assets, these videos that are highly viewed.
I kind of think it is. That's the cost of me to literally quit my crappy old job and start down this road. I had to have money coming in somehow.
Okay. So
I could focus solely on that, if that makes sense. The money had to come from someplace to pay the bills, and it came from my accounts, which meant that my accounts were being dwindled, and yet there was no, you see what I'm saying, Sarah? So that allowed me to focus on YouTube.
So what would you say? So if it cost you $100,000 for that 1 year before you started getting leads in, and now you're still even now producing videos that are getting you leads.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
You have to keep it up, but there is some kind of a compounding effect.
Oh yeah. No, without question.
Where you don't have to do anything.
Right.
For these videos. So you could assess it on a video by video basis. You could say, okay, if I put this much time into, well, I mean, you could say I put $100,000 of my time into making all of these videos, but you've gotten back presumably more than that.
Oh yeah. Oh hell, freaking a lot more than that for sure.
Right. But the idea of it is that the cost, the idea though is that it's not like you are spending money like buying leads where there's a hard cost and that cost is always the same. Presumably the more that you do this, the more you have done it, the more time you've invested in the channels and to make the channel successful. Now the views are just compounding where you're popular in the search engines. You don't have to do anything. So much like the returns on a dividend stock compound or interest on a bond, there's a compounding effect here.
Yep.
So the cost of a lead is decreasing.
Oh yeah. Well, absolutely. And actually it's completely the compounding interest on a dividend stock without question. That's exactly the way to look at it. You start with an initial investment of $100,000, and now it's paying dividends off that each and every month.
If you've already made $60,000 in revenue from that, then that offsets it.
100%. Now I'm getting it from YouTube, from a revenue base, and I'm getting it from clients who call me from a revenue. The clients who, they don't call me. They email me to set up plans. And then I sell more books. You see what I'm saying? Now, if I were doing this from scratch again, the thing is, I think a lot of people make the mistake. They, you just don't know where your channel is going to be. You have no clue, but you have to like it. You see what I'm saying? And I enjoy it. I enjoy it immensely. That's why I do it all. I mean, I do 3 or 4 videos a day now because I just love it. It's fun for me. And, some people get really upset with nasty comments. I get nasty comments all the time. I don't give a crap. I'm like, whatever. It's stupid. But nasty comments are good for the algorithm. You know what I'm saying? Thumbs down are good for the algorithm. It shows engagement. And YouTube wants nothing more than watch time and engagement. So what you have to do is you have to not appeal to everybody. And you have to have an opinion on something. I don't give a crap what it is. But you can't just be plain vanilla, freaking bland. You got to have an opinion. And that means sometimes you're going to piss people off. Well, welcome to the world. That's good. That's good. And so what happens, Sarah, is that if I had to do this again, I would make sure that I enjoyed it. And the only way to know it is just to do it. Just freaking do it. I cannot stress in this YouTube pod, I don't give a crap what it is, but just do it and do it every day. I cannot tell you, Sarah, how many people say they're going to do YouTube. They take up all my time asking about my equipment. My equipment is literally, I have this is a Chromebook. I started with. Now I upgraded to a MacBook. Wow, $600. And I got no speaker. I got no audio, no camera, just use whatever speaker. You can see, I got no drywall behind me. I got a whiteboard that I bought at Lowe's. It's a shower thing for $10. You know, I drilled a couple holes.
Josh, I think people love this. Because you're not the financial advisor in the office, in the conference room with the cufflinks.
But the problem is that they feel they have to be that guy. And I say, you know, I'm proof of that. Now, but what it is when it comes to YouTube is you got to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, I can't help you, because what's going to happen is you'll stop. And if you stop, you're always going to stop too early. I'm just telling you right now. It's like with a podcast, you got to freaking like it. And if you don't like it, find what you do like. So anyway, what I was going to say is YouTube has become bigger and bigger and bigger. And even though it's the second largest search engine, it's becoming harder and harder to get in front of. It's just a change. What I would do is I would go to White Glove. And I would say, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, $100,000. I don't care what it is. I'm going to budget a certain amount of money. They will put up a bunch of seminars for you. You only have to pay for the people who show up. You're not trying to get those people as clients necessarily. You're trying to send them to your YouTube channel. That was to be the immediate way you can get quick growth, that YouTube will allow it to compound, because YouTube will slowly see the engagement. And you just say to people, this is why people say, like me on Facebook. They don't say because they want you to like them, because they know the Facebook algorithm rewards lots of likes. So you say, I'm going to set up seminars. I don't care who shows up. I just want those people who show up to go to my YouTube channel and hit a like. I'm telling you, oh, it's so obvious that that's the way to go. But you have to have some videos out there. You can't just have two videos. You have to have a bunch. So I would do 60 days, 60 flipping videos, one a day, two, I don't care how many. Then you contact White Glove and you said, look, I don't get paid for White Glove. I just liked him. I thought they did a good job by me. And it was well worth the fee I paid. And you contact them and you say, okay, I'm doing these seminars, put me in this library, put me here. They'll take care of everything. 30 people clip show up. That's 30 people who should be watching your videos. And then you'll start building and you'll be able to jumpstart your growth like crazy. That's what I would do.
And so how has the business changed since you've had this YouTube success? Yeah. I see you're offering like an online course now. Yeah. This is not something that advisors typically do. You're offering webinars that you charge for. So you're not just like being a planner or an advisor. You've also got an educational component to it that you do get paid for.
Real quick, if you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm actually logging into my course on the other thing. What I found is that I have so many leads that I have to turn away, if that makes sense. Because I charge, you know, if you have 500,000 net worth or lower, I lowered my fee to 750 for those people. Is it 750? I can't remember. I think so. If it's 500 to a million, my fee is 1,500. And then if it's over a million, it's 2,500.
For a financial plan.
Yeah, I don't manage any money. I don't give any investment advice. It's just asset allocation. I'm an index guy. It's literally just asset allocation. But we do talk a lot about taxes and Social Security. So what I'll have is I'll have some folks who they don't need a plan. They might be younger. They might be 20 years out. So I offered a Can I Retire course where we talk about cash flow. It's all about expenses, how Medicare works, you know, Part B, Part D supplements, you know, Part C, the whole thing. But mostly Social Security, tax planning, how you don't need $5 billion to retire. It's just all, anyway, so I offer a course. And I made, you know, mid five figures last year on that. And I don't advertise as much as I should, to be perfectly honest with you. But I did make a decent amount on that course. But the reason was because I had such a big following on YouTube, if that makes sense.
So you just market this course through YouTube. You don't have the people go into some kind of a sales funnel where they go into like email marketing and then they get your newsletter. Is it newsletter based or is it just all through YouTube?
I would say no. I mean, so if they go to my website, heritagewealthplanning.com, I got a pop-up they can download one of my books as a PDF. I don't have it here. And then I get their email, you know what I'm saying? I got, you know, 2,200 email subscribers on my email thing that I got through that. Yeah, so I use Opt-in Monster for that, and that's great. So that I do have a, I hate to say a sales funnel, but it's kind of like that. It says, hey, look, go to my website, you'll see the pop-up. It shows, and I probably get 3 or 4 people a day who sign up for that, Sarah. And that those will be on my list through MailChimp. And once you get over 2,000, if MailChimp costs me $30 a month, I think. And I haven't done a good enough job at, I used to probably send 3 emails a week to my subscribers. And I haven't done that. I need to get back to doing that, because that's a good way to because you get a lot of new subscribers. You see what I'm saying? And that's a good way to generate traffic to your YouTube channel, generate traffic to your course, generate traffic to your books. I mean, there's so many different things you can generate traffic to. The problem is with a lot of email marketing, they'll follow the Gary Vaynerchuk stuff, which is jab, jab, hook. And I just, everyone's doing that now. And that just means give it away, then ask. Give it away and ask. I find that to be too obvious. And I follow a couple guys, and I'm not going to name them, who I like a lot. That's exactly what they do. They jab, jab, hook, jab, jab, hook.
So what do you recommend instead?
I just recommend you write stuff that's important to you. And then on occasion say, hey, by the way, this is what I got. You know what I'm saying? If you want it, I just.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do find that a lot of times when you mention it, like if you focus on creating the highest quality content and being the right. best content, what's going to happen is eventually people are going to ask.
But you still got to give them a kick in the pants too.
Yeah, you do.
So it was too deliberate, the jab, jab, hook, because you can see I follow this guy. So, okay, now it's a sales pitch. Here's 2 free ones. It's too methodical. I don't like that. It's too fake.
Yeah.
But you have to ask. It's okay to ask on occasion. And you can even put but I will tell you should be asking more than what I do. I don't ask enough, and I know I need to. I just forget because, like you said, how busy you are. You got the kids, you got freaking coronavirus, and you're like, you want to get the content.
But I also think that sometimes with me, and I think this might be with you too, that like you're so passionate about the things you talk about and your opinions that like you don't sit down like, oh, I'm going to make a YouTube video so it'll go viral, so I'll get this many sales. You go out there and you're like, I'm going to go on YouTube because I want to talk about something in the world that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's your intention, but then like that makes people even more intrigued, I feel, because then that's what keeps them coming back.
Well, let's talk about SEO real quick, if you don't mind, because I want to point this out too.
I got to wrap soon because we've been on here about an hour, and then I have someone coming in. But okay.
Just retirement planning. You type in YouTube retirement planning, you're going to see 3 ads right out the gate. All right, so right on up front, that means it's a very valuable topic. If that makes sense. So on SEO, you don't want to type in, I don't know, freaking how to retire as a parachutist, because no one's typing that.
Okay, so hold on. So retirement planning. Okay, good. So I'm going to, I'm actually going to share my screen into this so the people can see. Okay, retirement planning. So right, you see right here, Equitable.
Now go to incognito.
This is an incognito mode in Google.
There you go. Go to YouTube. Right on. All right. So now type in retirement planning. Exactly. You want to go incognito. There you go.
Incognito mode in your browser, everybody. Okay. Yeah.
So you see those 3, you don't have to click on, but there's, which means there's a very variable, very value. These people are paying big bucks for those ads on there. Scroll down a little bit. Now, I used to be number 2. So Money Evolution guy, and I know this guy. Somehow he's replaced me, and I used to be right underneath John Oliver. In fact, if you keep going down, my video won't show up for a while, which is kind of these. Keep going down. I'm way down here now. Keep going down right there.
That's such a nice video, though. I've seen this video.
Yeah, and I used to be literally number 2, and so it changes. Now, I don't know why, where, or how. Like, why is Chris Invest? He only has 1,400 views. I don't know. But at the end of the day, the point is retirement planning is very, very valuable to YouTube. Thus, make it valuable for you by looking at what YouTube is doing for search engine optimization. Say, that is a space I want to be involved in. All right. I know you got to go, but it's – do not sit there and say, I want to talk about what I want to talk. I mean, yes, you want to talk about what you want to talk about, but you don't title it like that. You title it what YouTube wants to hear. That makes sense.
Okay. All right, Josh. So if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
YouTube.
Heritage Wealth Planning on YouTube.
Heritage Wealth Planning, and my website is Heritage Wealth Planning as well. So if they want to get a hold of me, and I've had a number of people reach out to me from the last time we talked, Sarah. HeritageWealthPlanning.com is my website. Heritage Wealth Planning on YouTube. They can get a hold of me for sure. I don't have the time to have people on. I just don't have, I got four like you. I don't have the time to say, kind of pick your brain for an hour. I just don't have those times anymore. I wish I did. But I have so many YouTube videos out there. I don't have the time for that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's just me. It's literally me and my dog.
Yeah. But sometimes what you can do is if people have questions, they can enter them into like your channel.
Oh, and then
that helps you. And then you can make a video about it.
That's helpful. That's the way to do it.
Right.
No one has enough, as much as people say, can I pick your brain? I get that all the time. I just don't have the time for that. Because if I did, I'd never do any business. But if someone wants to email me, I'd be happy, most likely, to do a video on that because that is actually profitable to me as well. It's got to be a win-win. I'll answer the question and I'll make a video on it. I won't say Sarah said, you know, she's about to go bankrupt or anything like that. But I'll say a question of the day is that is a huge benefit. I'm glad you brought that up. That's huge because I think a lot of people overlook the benefits of that to both sides.
I mean, I just noticed that my best videos come from when people ask me a question and I answer it.
By
usually they're not the only person asking that. Like on my channel, somebody said, like, how much Python experience do you need to be an equity analyst? And I answered that and like it was the views were like climbing and climbing. Yep.
No,
all right, Josh, I'm gonna pack it in here, but thank you so much. Great to hear. Josh has been on the show before. Josh, great to have you again.
I'll be doing my show here pretty soon too, so we'll link up later on. We'll interview you for the channel as well.
Okay, cool.
For sure. All right, thanks, Sarah. Have a good day, everybody.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.